Good morning, Patriots. Right off the top, Mike Lindell, MyPillow. Two great names in America today. Mike Lindell, obviously one of the greatest CEOs we have and probably have had ever in the United States. Patriot and one who fights vigilantly with Christ in his heart for this country, for election integrity, for all sorts of great things. We need to support that company, and we're supporting them through the many ways that we can, and that begins with a promo code. Our promo code is BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. You get on over to MyPillow, and you can check that out and check out all the great savings and great products. You can and use that promo code to save just lots of money. So 40% off on my slippers, 66% off on pillows, doggy beds, comforters, towels, sheets, and they have great products. They actually are just amazing. I use them myself, not the doggy bed because I don't have a dog right now, but I do use the sheets, the comforter, and I use the towels. I use the my slippers. It's just fantastic products, and so does my parent. So do my parents. I've given them the same, and so that gives you a critical review. Trust me, there would never be any bias on this whatsoever. So get on over to MyPillow.com and use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, for some great savings. Bards Fest is on the 26th or the 29th of August. There's a new promo up on YouTube. If you get on over there to the Bards FM channel on YouTube, we put up a new promo last night. The promo was done by Duncan of Patriots Transition Voice. Fantastic promo. That premiered last night. Bards Fest, it is going to be an event of a lifetime in St. Charles, Missouri. You want to get your tickets, the indoor arena tickets. Indoor arena tickets go on sale. Have gone on sale. They are on sale now. The outdoor event tickets will go on sale later this week. You want to get over there. You want to get your tickets. It's a fantastic experience. Will be a fantastic experience. So many things going on. So there you go. Bards Fest, 26th to the 29th of August. You can get your information at BardsFM/BardsFest. Just go to BardsFM and click on the little tab above. It says Bards Fest. Lots of updates coming each day to the website to give you more information. It is a place to be. You don't want to miss it. Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. You've heard me say a number of times that when people approach this point and have approached this point of the injection, that they've made a very critical decision in their life. It's what I refer to as salvation through the needle versus salvation through Christ. And that has stirred up a lot of things, a lot of reactions, and I will assure you of people trying to explain to me that that biblically doesn't work because they've accepted Christ. This phrase, this passage, is to my point. If you've accepted Christ in your life and simply going through the actions and thinking that that is going to be the be-all, end-all, Christ has said, and then I will declare to them, I never knew them. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. It is an important thing to understand that in accepting Christ in our heart, it doesn't mean that the work is done. It means the work is just beginning. And it's part of what we have to do is we have to continue to work in that path of carrying Christ in our heart and what that means. Not just going through the actions, not just every day listening to this podcast, which I'm blessed that you are, but it takes moving that to the next level. We have to get into the world, and we have to reach out to the many. We're in a time at this moment in time in history where there are so many walking in darkness, and they continue to. They're walking, some are walking in true darkness with a true belief in of their worship of the state, a true dislike for anything related to God or Christ. And then we have these others that are meandering about in the shadows, kind of in the twilight zone between the both worlds, in particular those that have taken the shot and then telling themselves, yes, but I accepted Christ, I'll be okay. There's enough of those out there right now. It's an idea of putting forward the first that somehow medicine was going to fix you and not putting the trust in God. The worst part about this whole thing is it was never any event. It was a created event for the sole purposes of injecting a bioweapon in the masses of the people. That's unavoidable. Meaning that that decision point was unavoidable. The choice is, which way did you want to go? And at that point, when you arrived at that decision point, it was a fear or faith decision. This topic of the bioweapon has been center to everything we've discussed probably for the last 6 months. There isn't a show that we do and we don't touch on it. And it's not because there's nothing else to talk about. It's because it's the most important issue in our time. And it touches every single one of us. What's really more phenomenal to me are those that choose not to speak about it, as if it's not there. Focusing on things like election integrity is important, but election integrity doesn't have any weight, doesn't have any salt, if 30% of your population is dead. There is a certain strange alignment that's happening with those that have taken the bioweapon. And what we know, when I say that, what we know is that those that have taken it have generated this sort of false sense of joy, of happiness, of freedom. And this, again, salvation through a needle. Think of a person who you've seen that is baptized and accepts Christ in their life. Look at a moment of exhilaration that happens to them. Sort of excitement of this new life that's put before them. It's a beautiful thing to witness. And what we know, what everyone does know, is the work is just beginning at that point. And quite frankly, for some, for many, what follows in the next months will be some of the more demanding parts of that process, because they're going to have to be reshaped and reworked and remade from within. That's what Christ is doing. But at the same time, they have many of their own demons to face. It's a hard climb. And if they can accomplish it, and that means not just on their own, but having that support mechanism that can be there if they need it, not to tell them what they're doing, going through, but to just be there as a sounding board to let them move through it, most will probably be okay. Well, the same issue is happening now, but in a strange way with this injection. People are celebrating this freedom from fear, this freedom from anxiety. It's all over, and we know it's not. And all of that happened because they took the injection. So again, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. There is no doubt that there are people out here that do good works. And there are people out here that do good works that have decided to take the bioweapon within their veins. That decision point to do that over the trust in God is a decision point they now have to live with because it was a big juncture. So that point of bringing them back is a decision they have to make through an accountability. We can provide the light. We can put the mirror up for them to reflect upon. But they have to make the choice. And in making that choice, they have to come back and humble themselves before God and go through the process once again. There really is no middle ground on this. And it is a point that if they don't, then they really are just workers of lawlessness. And there's a key piece to that, is that what is that lawlessness? It's disregarding that strength in that relationship that they have with God and Christ. It isn't that anyone, and I'm reflecting some of this because there are comments that have come up. Not everyone is perfect, correct. Not everybody is. And Christ died for our sins, therefore we can make mistakes. But when we start doing that route, and this is, again, one of these traps of what I call the pew marshmallow, is there is a lack of accountability for the way we live in this world. Accepting Christ in our lives does not separate us from accountability to God, and accountability to our actions, and accountability to how we live. And if we don't have those accountabilities in our life, we wander and do whatever. I have no idea what God has in store. I wouldn't even begin to guess that. And maybe God's going to go, that's all okay. Bring it all home. Not my decision. That's a little bit above my pay grade. I'd be like, all right, sounds good. But what I do know is what's before us right now and what's demanded upon us is to walk more closely with him and be more true to who he is and what he demands of us. And when we've put Christ in our heart and we've decided to put something else before that in a critical decision that will ultimately affect our DNA, affect our temple that is God's temple that we're in, that we're tending to, stewarding, it's kind of a big deal. Not a small thing, just kind of a big deal. In our discussions with others at this point in time, with the many that have accepted it and moved on, they don't want to hear about what they've done. It really becomes, again, just a standard missionary work in a certain sense. We're now just trying to open people's hearts and minds up to Christ. You're not going to get through to them with the hundreds of details that are out here to tell them what they've done to themselves, because many just don't want to listen. They just want to know that everything was going to be okay and that bioweapon's going to save them and that's it. And right in there is probably one of the most powerful discussions to have. And that is, what do they think will really save them? What do they think will be that point of salvation? Will it make a difference? Will they be able to, in their time? Go out into the world. Live their life, and then at the point when they die, stand before God and say, I was fine, I got saved by the needle. It's again accountability and responsibility for the decisions we make. All things will be put before God, and we will have testimony before him for what we did and how we live. And if someone thinks honestly that they're going to be able to put themselves before God and say, yeah, I was good. I was good. I got a little scared. I got a little scared, and I decided that the best way forward here was to take an injection. It is an amazing process right now to witness. And that process is profound on many levels because it's people's willingness to believe whatever they want to believe versus believing in God and through Christ to the Father. One of those is the idea, and it's coming up more and more. Hey, I'm safe. I'm safe. I got the injection. Where in the literature, in any of this literature, did it say that this injection was going to protect you? This, and it said at best, even by their demigod Fauci, that it will not protect you. That it will relieve the symptoms, and yet they put into their head that it will protect them. And it's a worship and a belief so strong, it's more powerful than their belief itself in Christ, more powerful than their belief in God. They believe it will protect them. It will put on an armor around them. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It almost sounds scriptural. And of course it is. Because it's the inversion, once again, of the way this world works. We have to continue to stand firm in our faith. We have to continue to push forward in bringing the light to the many. And so that brings us to Matthew 7:24-27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Sadly, the way most people listen is once everything starts to fall apart. And there's one thing that's consistent in this world is that when things begin to fall apart is when people reach to God and say, oh God, please help me. Oh God, please no more. I can't endure this anymore, God. Please help me. And with that, somehow they expect to have some miracle put before them. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? Ask the question. Oh, Lord, Lord, did we not scream for you to come and save us when we needed you most? I love that one. Because it's in those moments that's exactly true. People call out more boldly and they most feel they are in need. When they miss the point that they need the Lord the most, when it seems like everything is normal. God is not a credit card, and the credit card is in a many, many lists of things. And the credit card is also that demand to help us as we need it, when we need it, on demand. Kind of like drive through God. Would you like to order today? I would like a double God burger, please. And I need some extra help sauce, if you could get on there. And I'd like some extra helper onions and a double slice of helper cheese, please. And throw in there, if you would, a jumbo size. And dude, yeah, just go ahead and supersize it, please. That'd be helpful, because I'm going to need a lot of this today. That's literally the way most people see their many see their relationship with God. Drive up to the window. Here you go. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Throw your credit card on the thing. Transaction made. Jump on. Drive away. Eat that burger on the road. Makes a little bit of a mess on your front as you're going, but that's okay, because you've got the supersized God bag right before you with the supersized God package and the supersized God burger. No problem. You're good to go. And everything's going to be okay. But it's not. And it's not, no matter how you cut it. It's a choice of the way we walk. And it's a choice of how we choose to play. Life isn't just out of our control, where we just randomly walk on the surface of this planet, become an eater of food, a consumer of houses and material goods that we don't need, and then just simply walk on our way. Life has responsibilities and obligations that are not about us. And when we put that position with God first in all things, and we steward each and everything we do in our life, no, it is not going to be easy, and no, we will not always be perfect in our decisions. But it is the point that in all things that we do, we put God before us to steward our direction in what we do. And we have to put our trust in Him. And in those times when we step away from that and we forget those moments, we have to put ourselves before Him and humble ourselves. Sadly, in our life, too many have walked a path where accountability is not a major issue. And accountability, especially from the teachings of the church, is, oh, you made a mistake, we'll come back over, we'll get you another baptism, and we'll clean that one right up. That isn't a way that we can live in any direction we go. Yes, our sins have been forgiven through the sacrifice of Christ on this earth. But again, once we accept Christ within us, it is a hard path. And it is a path that we have to stay true to. Again, not to the point you won't make mistakes, but where is your focus and where is your commitment to that path? And unfortunately, there are decisions in life that have major consequences. And then when we wander around and we don't place that importance before us in every breath and every step that we make, of putting our focus on the trust in Christ and through Christ to the Father, then we lose perspective not only on the daily accountability in our lives, but then when those big decisions come in play, we don't use that lens to see the world through God's eyes first. We use our own and then expect that somehow in the back end, everything's going to be okay because, well, what the heck? I've already accepted Christ. It all comes down to ultimately that in every breath and every step that we make, we have to have Christ in that moment, through us, in us, and through Christ to the Father. And through that point, we listen to what God needs of us, demands of us, and expects of us. It's where the wisdom finds its home. Right there is where wisdom comes out. And when we tap into that wisdom, our walk in life becomes very different. That's our transition right there. It is literally through Christ to the Father, and through that, the inheritance of a wisdom that we can't imagine. We are not in this world We are not of this world, and yet we have a foot here. And the biggest question is it a foot here to be part and walk in parallel with this world, or is it a foot that ends up anchoring us and pulls us into this world where we will die in this world? And all of that sits on that line of where is our faith? And where first do we make that choice in our faith? Life has never been an easy discussion, easy walk for us to make. And it will never be easy. And for each and every one of you out there that are dealing with these family splits over this injection, many prayers for you all. We all carry that, and it is a heavy burden because it has divided families, and it was never had to be. All we had to do was unite under God, unite in our trust in Him. But it is what it is. So now we make that walk and we now go on that mission. And it's so important that we get people to understand, as Christ said, not everyone will enter the kingdom of heaven. Simply saying the words, Lord, Lord, look at the great things we've done, does not give you a promise of heaven. It's what's in your heart. It's where you've put your faith. It's how you built your house on the rock or the sand. How you've endured the storms and where you've turned to in the times of fear and crisis. Those are all tests of who we are. And right now, it's an interesting place when you look at it. Everyone that stands on this side with God, everyone stands here, Christ boldly glowing in our hearts. We're going to be just fine. It's going to be a little rough. Probably have to skip on top of the waves once in a while. Matter of fact, we might be skipping on top of a lot of waves. And we'll see a lot of things fall, but we'll be okay. But all of this is going to rest on our ability to hold that line of faith. That temptation, that draw is pulling everybody in every day more than you realize. All you have to take is that little pinprick. Just the injection one time and you're all good. The pressure will be off. You'll be part of us. And those that give in will fall. Our line of holding is very simple, but it's not easy. So make sure you put on your armor every day. Make sure you're clear where you're going. The whispers are out here. And the whispers in your head, the whispers in your against your actions, the whispers to draw you in are everywhere. And it's all nothing as long as you keep Christ boldly in your heart and your relationship with God in all things through Christ to the Father and through that decision on every step you make. But it is important to understand that that process isn't just to do good favor for the Lord. It's literally how we survive this world. Let God lead. Listen closely. Keep Christ alive and healing within your body. And through Christ to the Father, the wisdom will be given. And we will come out of this okay. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in this very time in which we live and walk on this world, we pray for the continued strength to keep our armor strong and our relationship closer to you. Lord, we are surrounded by the many whispers to draw us in, to pull us into their trap and their perpetual hell, to accept an injection that will quite literally change the temple which you gave us to steward. Let us walk fearlessly with Christ in our heart and a relationship with you in such a way that wisdom that you have for us not only will give us strength in the times of the storm, to know that we've built our house solidly on the foundation of a rock, the rock of faith, but also, Lord, to gift us with the words and wisdom to speak to the many, to awaken them from their slumber, to bring them to Christ, and to put them humbly for you on their knees. To accept the accountability of where they're at, and to turn their hearts over to you for true healing and salvation. Let the deceivers be revealed and unmasked. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. Patriots, I hope you have a very blessed day. I'll be back in about 30 minutes for Storm Dispatch. Until then, or until the next time, keep your head up and your eyes forward, never bow to evil, never relent, always press into the fight. Prayers right now for discernment and prayers for strength are critical in our daily action. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. Let us remember that idea, because the only way God is forsaken is if we walk away from him. We need to tuck in tighter each day to him and through Christ to the Father. And in the end, God will always win. Let us be there with him. So have a blessed day. I'll see you shortly, or until then, or until the next time. God bless. And out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're running your head. What the